RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Empty on the mic, 910 the fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thursday morning coming at you, talking college football. I said we didn't talk a ton of signing day yesterday because I generally think that signing day is a little passe. We've moved past signing day as a football community, because these high school kids may or may not ever end up suiting in the uniforms of the teams they wear. If you're a UVA or Tech fan, you probably don't want a lot of freshmen starting on your team. You want guys coming in or guys developing. And the thrill of the flip and all those things, you know, comes and it goes. Although Tech got a nice flip yesterday. So that was exciting. Got a kid from Cincinnati who had committed to Cincinnati, Tidewater kid, to flip their way. So there's still a little excitement there and a little juice. And I think Brent Pry has recruited well, and Tony Elliott is actually recruiting very well. You look at his success at UVA, and these are the foundations you build on. And at some point, I think it will come full circle again. Right. So, you know, we used to have the February signing day, and it was this big hullabaloo, and, you know, it was after the season, so there was all the focus on it. Whereas right now, all the focus is on how bad the playoff rankings are, understandably so. Those are important things to get to as well. But it's not as in your face or intense, so to speak, as it would be if it were in February still. I think it comes around full circle, and I think ultimately that happens when we finally get to the point in college sports where they're signing contracts, where they're doing long-term agreements, where they're, hey, the kids you sign have an actual chance to be there for 3 or 4 years. I think that's when we get to the other side of this. You say, okay, who are we signing? Let's invest in them. Let's dig in on who this is. Let's make sure we make good decisions, because we're back to committing for 3 and 4 years. Now, I don't have a lot of optimism that's going to happen anytime soon. You know that. Everything's about this House settlement, right? The House settlement, Congress is going to fix college sports. Congress ain't coming to fix college sports. If you're counting on Congress to fix your problem, your problem's not going to get fixed, potentially for a very long time. If you need Congress to fix your problem, you're in an even worse spot, and you can ask Josh Harris about that. He's out there begging for fighter jets to get moved so he can have a football stadium, all because somebody thought it was a good idea to make the District of Columbia federal land a long time ago, but not put it under any sort of local supervision, taxation without representation, as they say. But we are far too far into politics and far too far away from what I want to talk about in this segment because Brent Pry spoke yesterday and Tony Elliott spoke yesterday at UVA and Tech. And I'm setting JMU to the side. They had a very nice signing day. I think there's momentum there with Bob Chesney. I think that's a tough conference in the Sun Belt. You look at the expectations. App State's going to come in with high expectations with their new coach. And obviously there's a lot of really good programs there. It's harder than ever before to sustain success at that level. I think JMU's uniquely equipped to do it, but I think ODU is also uniquely equipped to do it with their location, JMU's resources, stadium, and passionate fan base. Both schools are really well positioned for success, but as we talk about, football's a net zero sport. When JMU plays ODU, the number of victories available to them is one, regardless of how well they're actually recruiting out there. And so that's going to be the JMU challenge, and that's the SEC fan challenge right now, right? Kalen DeBoer, the new Alabama coach, lost three times this year. Oh, my goodness. That's how things work in the new SEC. And barring, you know, any sort of seismic realignment, that's how things are going to work for a while. You're going to have to make peace with losing some football games because you're playing against other super teams every single weekend. The Big Ten teams are going to have to make peace with losing games because Oregon and you know, maybe USC, although the Lincoln Riley thing's wild, are out in their conference, and you have more losable games each year. You have fewer games against Purdue. Fewer games that you against Northwestern, more games where you could lose the football game. And so that's the new reality of college sports. But Tony Elliott was talking, and he was asked, he's got two freshman quarterback coming in, which makes total sense as the cupboard's largely depleted. Now, that was before Anthony Calandria's decision this weekend to go into the portal. So let's rewind, and we'll go with what MP thought first. Because Tony Musket, who's a senior, started for UVA against Virginia Tech on Saturday. And I thought what I think would be the rational explanation. I'm a big person. I'm big into whatever the simplest explanation is. That's probably it. And so that's probably what happened here. So the simplest explanation here, Anthony Calandria went to Tony Elliott, the coach, and said, hey, I'm going to bounce into the portal after the season's over. Can't blame the kid, of course, certainly. And Tony Elliott said, that's awesome. I wish you the best. Hey, Tony Musket's my guy. And I benched him for you this year because you're better. But I want to start him. He's a senior. I want to do right by him. He's worked hard for the program. I want to start him in his final game against Virginia Tech. And Anthony Calandria said, no biggie. It's cold. And I've seen APR's pass rush. You're doing me a solid, coach. Thanks, bud. And then they all leave and move on with their lives. And so Tony Musket started against Virginia Tech. They didn't win, by the way. They lost by 20. It didn't go very well for them. But yesterday, here is Tony Elliott discussing the quarterback situation at UVA.
You know, unfortunate situation with AC. The intention was never, with the decision that I made, was never to get him to even entertain and think about the portal. You know, I was planning on, you know, him coming back and being the guy for us going forward. But, man, things change. So now we will have to go and look and find a veteran guy in the portal. We're going to be aggressive from that standpoint because I think we got a lot to sell. You know, I wish AC well. He's leaving here in good terms, so there's no bad blood from my perspective. But you know, it's just unfortunate that the intent was not for AC to leave the program. I was excited about, you know, getting back to work this offseason and helping to get him to a place of getting his confidence back at the highest level. Also, I knew that I have a responsibility this offseason to go put some more pieces in place around him. But unfortunately, we'll be doing that with another veteran quarterback through the portal process.
All right. The start of that's the most important part, although the rest of it. I heard that and I thought, he says, it's an unfortunate situation with AC, with Anthony Calandria. I never intended with my decision to get him to think about going in the portal. And I thought, that sure sounds a lot like when he benched him for the UVA Virginia Tech game, it nudged him into the portal. But then I thought, that can't possibly be right. So I called somebody I know who's more dialed in than me over there. It's been a hot minute since I covered UVA. Mike London was the coach, just for perspective there. So it's been a minute. I don't pretend to be a UVA insider. I'm not who's talking. You know, we get that Mondays at 6. But I reached out and I said to the person, I said, man, that sure sounded like he benched Anthony Calandria for the Virginia Tech game and it pushed him into the portal. And the person said, yeah, I thought the exact same thing. I also thought that was crazy. And I reached out and there may be some truth to that, which if that's true, if that is what happened, and again, I can't vouch personally for this, only to say, play the quote back, grab the Odyssey app, it's free, it's got the rewind button, it's at the App Store and Google Play, all of which is to say, if that's true, and it seems to be what Tony Elliott's saying, that could be the single worst decision any UVA coach has made in the last several decades. And I'm aware of what I'm saying. Because I lived through the Mike London years. I lived through wasting the timeouts, not calling them, and then firing off three in a row at the end of the Virginia Tech game. I lived through that. I asked him those questions at that press conference. I was there when that happened. I've lived this. I've seen some dumb decisions. The 12 on the field, the punt that hit the guy in the face and cost him to win against, I think it was Wake Forest. We don't need to relitigate. Bottom line, a lot of dumb things have happened there. If you sacrificed a year of a great young quarterback, a great's a strong word, but an ACC caliber quarterback, he unquestionably is. He is an ACC caliber quarterback. If you sacrificed a year of that so that Tony Musket could lose to Virginia Tech by 20 points, I don't know what to say, man. I don't care what happens from here. They could get Nico Iamaliava out of the transfer portal. That's still the most insane thing in the world to me. As somebody who's followed this for a while, that's insane. We ran the Tony Elliott roller coaster this year because I started kind of down on him, and they won some games, and their schedule was designed to win some games early, but also they won them, straight up, and they had some nice performances. I liked what the kids showed, and late in the season at all, the O-line fell apart, and people are like, oh, the late season slide. Nah, they just play good teams late in the year, right? You play good teams, those have. They got the nice win at Pitt, so certainly, I think their resume was comparable to the Hokies coming into that game. Now, Hokies gave it to them, as they do every year, but at the same time, oh my goodness, if he benched Anthony Calandria and sent him into the portal, whoo boy, there's a lot of pressure on him finding the right guy coming back out of the portal. I will tell you that much. That's an insane story to me. We will keep our eye on that story. There's more MP on the mic on the other side. You are listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. 27 minutes from now, Lane Casadante joins the program. It's a Thursday. We love hearing from Lane. A variety of topics to talk about. We went to break, but I didn't stop thinking about how insane that statement was from Tony Elliott. All right, not the whole thing, Hazel, but let's fire up just the good part. Because I'm still wrapping my head around this.
You know, unfortunate situation with AC. The intention was never, with the decision that I made, was never to get him to even entertain and think about the portal.
The decision I made? That's insane! He benched him for Tony Musket and then called a flea flicker and got Tony Musket killed on the first play of the game and lost by 20 to Virginia Tech. By the way, there is a world where they beat Virginia Tech, and this is debatable, right? Sometimes the coach does something crazy, and it works. And the radio show the next day is like, I don't think I would have done that, but yeah, dang if it didn't work. If they beat Virginia Tech, 6 wins, bowl game, and probably get Brent Pry fired, do those means justify the end? Now we have a discussion. They might. You lost an entire year of a good quarterback, and now you got to go find one in the portal and train him up. Because you wanted to play Tony Musket against Virginia Tech. You lost by 20! 20! It wasn't close. What were you thinking? There's no other way to interpret that. It's an unfortunate situation there with the decision I made. I just, I feel like the sucker. I've been walking around for 4 days giving this guy the benefit of the doubt. What was I thinking? 20 points. They beat you by 20. You think Anthony Calandre couldn't have lost by 20? I bet he could have. And then you'd have a quarterback for next year. You don't have a quarterback for next year now. I don't think his job's in jeopardy or anything right now. I think Pry and Elliott are both safe. I don't think we're going to have a coaching search this offseason. I guess what I'm trying to say is they lost by 20 points and he lost the quarterback for next year.
Is that what happened?
That's, I guess, the point I'm trying to make.
I see.
I'm saying it for my own benefit now as much as everybody else's benefit.
It's kind of hard to process.
It's so hard to process. Let's roll through acceptable outcomes. Like, Tony Muscat, like, hey, it wasn't the senior season he wanted. He's not thrilled. He got to walk out on senior day, but it wasn't really what he wanted. But Anthony Calandria is your quarterback next year. So you have a quarterback next year. Could Anthony Calandria beaten Virginia Tech? No. Probably would have lost by 20, especially if you called a flea flicker for him. Although he's got wheels. He could have made something of it. Probably wouldn't have, though. Got sacked 9 times against SMU. So now you don't have a quarterback for next year. So that's not ideal. You got 2 freshmen coming in. Not ideal. And you lost to Virginia Tech by 20. The whole thing's not ideal. I just don't know that there's analysis beyond that. Beyond just me throwing my hands up in the air and saying, what were you thinking? That's the analysis. That's it. That's the breakdown from MP. Another person we like to talk about what he's thinking is Aaron Rodgers. He has a Netflix show coming. There's only one way to play out the NFL season. It's not a fast dance, Hazel. I believe it's a bolero. Yeah. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. That's Aaron Rodgers, whose Jets are stumbling to the finish line here after a rough start to the season. He said, don't worry. Called his boys while he was stuck in traffic. Got a receiver. Got a pass rusher. Hasn't meant much. They are 3-9 going into their home stretch here. Even if they win out, they will not make the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers, your thoughts.
I want to be out there with my guys in battle as long as I feel healthy. Body feels as good as it felt, whether fortunately or unfortunately, for the situation. Body feels great. I want to be out there. I want to be out there with the guys. I want to battle. I have a lot of pride in playing. One of my goals this year coming back from the Achilles was to play all 17 games. I assume that would be 17 plus whatever playoff games we played in. Obviously, that hasn't been the case this year. But we still got 5 games left, and we'd love to be out there battling with the guys.
He wants to play. He needs to play. He really, really wants to play. That's the message from Aaron Rodgers. 5 games to go. Will the Jets bench him? You got the Daniel Jones situation where they bench him because if they don't bench him, he's owed money. If he gets hurt, and you don't want that because you know you're going to cut him, and then the whole thing accelerates and you cut him because you know you're going to cut him. It's really not. There's none of that going on with Aaron Rodgers. He's got an option for next year, but it's kind of just that. It's just a year hanging out on the end of the contract. There's no real cap hit. None of that going on. All the money came out as bonus. There's really no reason not to play him. And frankly, why wouldn't you play him? Throw him out there. Let him do his dance.
Let him battle.
Let him battle with his guys. It'll be good material for the Netflix show that I will not watch. I might watch it. Who am I kidding? I might watch it. I probably won't watch it, but I might watch it.
It might be entertaining.
I'm just saying it might be. That guy, he's good content. I don't know if he's a good quarterback, but I know he's good content. That's the Aaron Rodgers situation as the Jets debate whether to play him or not. Hour number 2, we'll dive into tonight's game, Packers-Lions, at 11:30, because I'm a little fired up for this one. I think we got a good football game on tap tonight for sure. The Ringer, that's Bill Simmons' online site. Danny Kelly does NFL for them. He has his first mock draft out today.
of the 2025 NFL draft. Never too early to be talking mock draft. Now, the Jets right now are actually only the sixth pick. It's a train wreck, but there's five bigger train wrecks right now in football. They're not even in top five, like get a quarterback position. He's got two quarterbacks in the top five. He says the Raiders will take Shedeur Sanders. Perfect fit. No notes. That makes total sense all around. Raiders need a star. Shedeur Sanders in Vegas. I see no issues there. The Giants taking Cam Ward, the Miami quarterback, which this will be an adjustment for Giants fans because they went straight from Eli to Daniel Jones. And say what you will about Daniel Jones, he hung around a while. He was a quarterback in the NFL for a long time. Like, I don't think Giants fans really know what's on the other side of this, which is not to disparage Cam Ward, who I think is really good, but is boom or bust material. He's a playmaker, right? Sometimes those guys are stars. Sometimes those guys fizzle. I don't think the Giants know what it's like to cycle through four, five, six quarterbacks in a span of 10 years. I can teach them, though. I know. I've seen it for sure. Danny Kelly's number one pick on this mock draft, Travis Hunter of Colorado, of course. You know I love Travis Hunter. The Deion thing's going to mess this up for Travis Hunter, I'm convinced. Heisman goes to the best player in football. Would Stubb hit me with a Heisman trivia question last night. Heisman goes to the best player in football. The schools send out like marketing materials to the voters for the top candidates, and Colorado sent out its marketing materials, and it's Heisman, M-E-N, with Shedeur and Travis Hunter. Travis is better, but if you split the vote, somebody else is going to win the Heisman. That's what you have to watch out for. I think Travis Hunter is deserving of the Heisman. Will he win it? I don't know. I know that Deion wasn't going to let promotional materials out the door that didn't include his son, who is having a phenomenal season. But at some point, the toughest contest is the primary, right? Got to make it out of your own school before you can win the vote. They got to rally around Travis Hunter because he's had an insane year. He's the Shohei Ohtani of college football. He does it all, and he does it all well. I want to talk about this RFK situation, which heated up again yesterday, and some stern words for the people of Maryland. Also, Lane Cassadani joins the show in a bit. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105. MP
on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app on Thursday, as we like to welcome in our guy, Lane Cassadante. Of course, last week was Turkey Day. Hopefully you had a lovely one, Lane. You got CBS got the only good game of the day there, the Bears melting down at the finish. It was that was a wild one.
Just when you don't think it can get any worse for some of these teams, along comes the Bears and Matt Eberflus. And it reminded me, and I hate to say this because I think he's an absolute gem of a human being and a pretty good coach, but it reminded me of Mike London at the end of the Virginia Tech game. I want to say, I don't even remember what year it was. It was probably 1996 or 2000, somewhere in the mid 2010s, where he was on Virginia Tech intercepts a pass. I believe it was Antoine Exum from deep run, intercepted a pass back deep into UVA territory less than a minute to go. And all Tech needed was a field goal to kind of seal it. And Mike London had two timeouts and never took them. And everybody's sitting there, and I remember sitting with Shane Beamer at the Dudley Award banquet like a week later saying, what were you guys thinking? And he said, because Shane was obviously an assistant for his dad back then, and he's like, we were screaming at each other, what does he know that we don't know? What does he know that we don't know? Well, apparently nothing.
2012, Lane Stadium.
Okay, there you go.
And yeah, I will not forget it anytime soon. David Teal, I asked London about the press conference, and he stumbled through an answer. And David Teal, who is normally, he is a Hall of Fame sports writer, normally extremely composed, non-emotional. His follow-up question was basically like, yeah, but Mike, what were you thinking? Yeah. You like broke characters. Like, this angers me how bad this clock management was. And there was no answer. It was a low point in the rivalry, of a rivalry that's had some low points for UVA. including Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it's hard for one to stick out, but that one does.
He's Link Cassidante, and we've got the Link Cassidante sounder, so I think we should use it.
He's the dean of local TV sports, and if it seems like he knows it all, that's because he does. It's time for Thursdays with Lane Cassidante of CBS 6.
Hi, Lane. Wrapped up another great season of Final Score Friday. We start these things trying to find out who the best team is, and dang if Verina didn't make a pretty good case with two nice wins in 2 weeks there.
Well, you go, you know, then their only loss this year was a double overtime loss in their very first game to Indian River, in a game that they had several chances to win. And I talked with head coach Marcus Lewis the other night about that. I said, would you like to get him again tonight or this week? And he goes, you know, they had so many chances, but he got it as a learning experience, and they never made that mistake again. And when you beat Dinwiddie, you beat Huguenot, you know, going to Dinwiddie is one thing, and beating, you know, the best player to ever wear Navy down there and Harry Dalton III and winning at Dinwiddie is no joke. But the score that raised eyebrows for everyone was shutting out Huguenot the week before, because I was just up the road in Highland Springs and everyone was like, really? Really? The conditions that night had a little bit to do with it. There were gusts up to 40 miles an hour, and it was raining for the first half of the game, misting, and that kind of neutralizes a passing game if you don't know how to use it. But Verina's defense, and back in August, Marcus Lewis said he had 80% of both of his lines back, offense and defense, and he said that's where we're going to win games this year. And he was absolutely right. He knew the personnel he had. He knew what kind of kids he had. He's not a boastful guy, and he doesn't make a lot of predictions, but he knew back in August that this team had a chance to be really good.
You win in the trenches. It's true at every level of football, and they certainly exemplified that as they march on to potentially bigger and better things. Speaking of high school sports, Lane, I know you and Sean made the rounds for signing day yesterday. I'm curious what the vibe was like compared with, you know, when I think of signing day, I think of 5 years ago. It was in February. It was the sports calendar stopped for signing day, and a lot of things have happened since then. They moved it to December, the portal, NIL, etc. What is the state of signing day at the moment here?
It's the early signing period is really for the players in any sport, male or female, who probably have been the most recruited. Like, these are the ones that get taken off the board right away. These are the ones, like, you look at Samari Earls down at Thomas Dale, almost 50 offers. And he didn't even play his senior year because of an ankle injury. These are the players that go in the early signing period in December. And there's fewer and fewer of them. And one of the coaches was telling me about it has to do with the numbers of scholarships at the college level, and NIL, and the transfer portal. There are fewer opportunities for high school players to make a dent in some of these bigger programs because it's now far too easy and far too convenient to just go get a kid that already has 2 years of experience at the college level and plug him in through the portal. So yesterday was big. There were, 9, 10, 11 ceremonies all over town that we had at least heard of. And there were, two dozen kids that probably signed to play at the next level. But you're right. The numbers have kind of come down a little bit because of the way collegiate sports have changed. And it makes it even harder for high school kids. You know, is my coach going to be there? Am I going to spend 2 years here and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and takes my spot in front of me just because they're a grad transfer or something like that? I don't think I'd want to be a college coach in any sport for any amount of money right now, because it's just exponentially more challenging to move the puzzle pieces around and try to keep everybody happy at the same time.
I mean, look at Tony Elliott at UVA. That's going to be a largely new roster next year. And if you're
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
High end, if you're Clemson, Miami, obviously Clemson's a bad example because of Dabo, but like the high end schools are going to get their guys, and the James Madisons are going to get their guys because they're recruiting the high schools still. In that middle, though, that's brutal to have to reload the roster every year.
And if you think about this, I thought about this when, I know I'm going to switch sports, but Joey Rodriguez had his jersey lifted to the rafters on the Siegel Center last week. How many more of those ceremonies are we going to see? Because in order to, you know, achieve a level like that with a program, you got to stay there for a few years. And I don't know that there are going to be that many that do that. You know, you can go down all the Power Four football rosters right now. Find me a bunch of players that have made an impact and have been there for more than 3 years. It's a much smaller list than it was 10 years ago.
No doubt. Lane Casadane joins us on Thursdays. What do you guys have cooking this weekend at CBS 6?
Oh, well, we have three area teams still alive in the state semifinals. Verina will be home to take on Tuscarora Saturday at 2 p.m. LC Byrd, which is really the surprise of the region this year. They finished 7-3. They were third in Region 5C. They are in their state semifinal up in Ashburn against Briar Woods on Saturday. So Matt Bland, really, you know, 10 wins in your first season as head coach at Byrd is going to buy you a lot of credit down there. And then the Essex Trojans, you know, lather, rinse, repeat with the Essex Trojans. They are in the state semifinals again. They take on Alta Vista, which is down just south of Lynchburg. So all three of those teams are still alive for a state championship. And then, oh, by the way, you know, college basketball is now in full swing too. Everybody playing every night of the week. So the great sports overlap is it's hit us for the last few weeks, for the last month or so. And there's more than enough to talk about.
Elaine, I'll break some unsurprising news while you're on the air here. Jayden Daniels has been named the NFL Rookie of the Week for Week 13. His eighth Rookie of the Week this season, chasing Ben Roethlisberger, who won 9 of them. He's one away. I know you've got the board up in the newsroom tracking this, so wanted to make sure you get your Pepsi Rookie of the Week sticker up as soon as we're done here.
And again, lather, rinse, repeat again. Right now the challenge is going to be, you know, and NFL defenses are smart, and they adjust to everybody. And let's see how they adjust to him. It may not be this season. It may not be till next season. But you know as well as anybody, NFL is a game of chess. And how many moves ahead are you, and how well do you adjust to what someone changes against you? It'll be I think, and here's, again, and I know you've highlighted this many, many times. How many games did Jaden Daniels start in college? Over 50?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. I know he did it at, like, three different schools, but he had that kind of experience, yep. And that's why I think that's a huge reason why we're seeing him be so successful right out of the gate up in Washington.
No doubt. Lane, always enjoy the chat. Stay warm this weekend. I'll be excited to see your reporting from the world of sports.
All right, Michael, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right, there he goes. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
Thursday morning. Welcome aboard. Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. As always, we are worldwide on the free Odyssey app, coming to you on a VCU victory Thursday. Nice win last night, 89-54 over Georgia Southern. That was a team that was locked in, dialed in. Max Schulga carried them early. And then a great team performance, some good free throw shooting, fouls went their way, which they did not in Charleston. Your VCU Rams now 7-2 this season. One more tune-up on Monday. They'll play Penn. That'll be at the Siegel Center. And then we'll pack up, get out of town. Is Vegas / Henderson time. Vegas sounds cooler. The game will be in Henderson. Then they'll head down to New Mexico. So Colorado State, New Mexico, back-to-back there. That's a season-defining stretch. Coming off of a season-defining performance there. That was about as good as you're going to get from the VCU Rams last night. Love to see it because we were talking. This was a good opponent, and this was a team that was going to give them a test. We'll dive into everything about the VCU Rams as today's show rolls on. I've got a thought. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I started yesterday in Conspiracy Corner. I don't believe we're going there today. I think we're in the other corner of the room. I heard something at Tony Elliott's press conference yesterday. He's the UVA football coach. He lost to Virginia Tech by 20. That's all right. Everybody loses to Virginia Tech when you're a UVA football coach. But this is, he said something very interesting, and I want to dive into that. And it relates to the quarterback, Anthony Calandri. And of course, yesterday was signing day. I think you're going to want to tune in here in about 10 minutes when we take this on. UVA football quarterback situation, Anthony Calandri and Tony Musket, who came in relief of Calandri against Virginia Tech. Calandri hit the portal. They got two freshman quarterbacks coming in. Tony Elliott was very obvious yesterday, or said very obviously, they will attempt to find another quarterback in the portal. But it was what he said about Anthony Calandri that had me perking up, and that I think you'll want to hear it as well. It's also a Football Thursday. Happy Football Thursday to all who celebrate, which is all of you. Big, big game tonight. The Packers and the Lions. Looking forward to that one. Packers-Lions, always a treat in this new Dan Campbell era, and certainly tonight when you've got playoff positioning on the line for both of them. If the Packers lose, we get to talk about the Commanders maybe being the sixth seed. So that's a fun discussion, and I think dramatically increases their chances of winning a playoff game. If they're the sixth seed, if the Commanders fall into the sixth seed, you're talking about playing a team you can beat. Atlanta, Tampa, Seattle, Arizona in the first round of the playoffs. If you stay at the seven seed, you're probably getting the Lions or the Eagles. I think those two teams are the class of the NFC right now. For the Lions, chance to hold on to that bye. They're only one game up on Philly for the bye. So a crucial game for them, as they all are. The single bye has really cranked up the pressure. You think about the Bills and the Chiefs, right? Clearly the two best teams in the AFC would probably be able to throw the parachute out, put the brakes on somewhat, if it weren't for the fact that there's only one bye. They got to keep chasing each other for it, because that's a valuable thing. You want that time of year. The team, that one seed, makes the Super Bowl an awful lot in the new format, and I'm not surprised, because it's a huge advantage over everybody else getting a week where you don't have to play professional football. So all of that, but we're starting at the Siegel Center last night. VCU victory Thursday. I love that for the Rams. Zeb Jackson didn't play in the second half. Ryan Odom told Robbie and Rodney on the radio broadcast here on the Fan after he was getting a little tight and he left the game. They'll see what's going on with him. So man, I feel for Zeb, who's been through a lot and maybe is going to have to go through some more here, but hopefully that all comes out fine and we see him again when they head out west. But this was Ryan Odom stopped by, of course, the radio booth post-game. His thoughts on the game, always enlightening. Let's play them for you right now.
Obviously, there were some stuff going on the court, right? You know, there were a couple technicals and things that you know, went our way. But I think really what I want to talk about was just, you know, the last couple of days. We didn't have our best practices. We didn't have bad practices, but not great. And so the guys felt, you know, our not frustration, but urgency, you know, with them and the preparation and how we need to prepare and how we need to be focused on dominating. And we talked a lot about that. You know, we asked our guys, have we met, you know, our early season expectations so far? Like, you feel like you've overachieved at this point? And they all were, to a man, we're like, no, of course not at this point. We've lost two close games. And, you know, teams that, you know, want to play in postseason, all right, don't take nights off. They don't take practices off. All right, it's really hard to make that dance. And so, you know, for us, you know, coming into this game, we felt like this was the best and most talented team we played so far, and you know, in the Siegel, and you know, we wanted to play our best, and getting our guys in a mindset, all right, for 40 minutes, all right, to try to dominate, and you do that with discipline, you do that with consistency, you do that with effort, you do that with communication, you obviously have to make shots, all right, and share the ball and play the way that we play, and I think we did, but in the first half, you know, we didn't necessarily have it at the beginning, right? Max did, like from an offensive perspective. He was making shots and keeping us in it right there at the beginning. But then our bench gave us a lift, all right? Michael Bell comes in, Luke comes in. You know, Brandon was in there in that first half. Fats had a little bit of time in that first half. Obviously, he was way better in the second. But I thought Michael Bell was key. All right, his offense and his defense. Luke was key, you know, in that first half of playing pick and roll defense the way we needed it played. And, you know, it allowed us to, you know, not get back in the game, but, like, you know, play in a tighter situation. And Phil, you know, I thought was tremendous. I mean, it's evident, you know, we need him on the court, right? And so we've challenged him, you know, to be him, all right, while, you know, being a little more conservative with his fouls. And I thought, you know, overall, you know, the guys got the message. You know, credit to our guys, you know, for actually doing it, you know, on the court. We're not going to blow teams out in the first 5 minutes. You can't win the game in the first 5 minutes. And so, like, they're a talented group, and it was back and forth, you know. And I thought our guys did a really nice job of weathering that storm, similar to the Loyola game, and then really, you know, the key was playing well to end the half, all right, in the last 10 minutes, and then certainly the start of the second half. The starters, we challenged them at halftime, like, you got to do better, you know, than you did at the beginning of the game, and they were on them right away, and we get the steals, you know, down here, the press was going. All right, that was the key to separating it. And then it's just a matter of maintaining that, you know, urgency, you know, throughout.
As VCU coach Ryan Odom, to me, the most interesting part of that that sequence there was his Phil Russell thoughts. Because I do think Phil Russell has become a really important slash crucial player to this year's team. He brings the energy, brings the juice, brings some great shooting touch, and all those things you want out of a player. Also brings
a propensity to foul and a propensity for them to get in his head. And he said, you know, a lot of that was the discussion coming out of Charleston. We're not who we want to be yet. Credit to Ryan Odom for realizing that, right? And a tough loss to Seton Hall, who's 200 in the net. Those things are going to weigh you down come Selection Sunday. You're really rooting for Seton Hall. Big city of Seton Hall fans right now here in Richmond. But understanding for Phil Russell, if you're on the court, you're far more valuable to us than you are not on the court picking up fouls. Last night, the fouls went their way. Russell didn't get rattled as easily as he did in Charleston. I think that was, and part of that is you're in Charleston, and it's 3 games, 4 days, and it's just hard to pause. It's hard to hit the stop button, and you get sped up in game one, and you saw it. It turned into some really bad possessions at the end of game two, and they got the day off. They got centered. They got right for Miami, but I think that first loss in a lot of ways turned into the second loss. It was a team that couldn't find itself and was searching for itself. That Phil Russell last night is a guy who's going to be able to take this team places, and you know, Robbie was on the show yesterday. We were talking about Max Schulga. Max is phenomenal right now. He is dominating. I just love where Max Schulga is at. He really came back stronger, came back better. I love how Robbie put it. He's the most improved player this season, which is crazy to say for an all A-10 player last year. But he is significantly better than he was last year. Carried the team in the early going when it was sluggish. It was tied. It was tied there pretty late into the first half. And Max was keeping the team in the game, And then you saw the breakthrough, the free throw shooting, the everything else. Certainly a win to celebrate for the VCU Rams. That's not one. You don't want to just file that away like Elizabeth City State. This was a tougher opponent. This is a sign maybe that they've turned a little bit of a corner in terms of focus and preparation and those things. And they'll need to take that out west with them. They'll need Phil Russell on the court. They'll need that improved Max Schulga, and obviously we'll keep an eye on Zeb Jackson's health. Those are kind of the major storylines out of last night for me, at least. We are just getting underway, though. Got a lovely Thursday show for you. I promised you Anthony Calandria tea. I will furnish it after the break here. Of course, we'll take you up to noon. AWOD Radio takes over Grant and Danny. We'll drive you home. You know where you are. You're at Richmond's home for the most Commanders talk in town. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Thursday, it's a football Thursday, as it tends to be most Thursdays around here. This is always a fun football Thursday, because you guys who know me, it's MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, we're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. You guys who know me know I don't love Thursday night football usually, and I stay far away from gambling on Thursday night football. My motto there is if you can get points, but if you could not play it, don't play it. It's Thursday night football. It's random. But one Thursday a year, well, opening night too. Opening night's always good. But one Thursday a year in season, we are gifted with a true good matchup. And the reason for that is they played on Thanksgiving last week. So two of the teams that play on Thanksgiving always play the next Thursday in the game. And this is a holdover from it used to be every team played exactly one Thursday night game to maximize fairness. Then the NFL said, screw fairness. We got some TV money to go capture. Let's play the Chiefs every day of the week as much as possible. You know, let's play the Steelers on all the days of the week because they move the needle, right? So that's gone. The tradition remains, though, that two of the Thanksgiving teams then go into a regular week cadence and play the next Thursday night. So they play on full rest, even though it's Thursday night, because they came off of that Thanksgiving game, and then they get their Thanksgiving break after tonight's game. So not only that, we've been gifted with an outstanding game tonight. It is the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions, and this is going to set the tone for a number of things down the stretch, some of which involve the Commanders. So first off, Detroit's at 11-1. They're the only one-loss team in the NFC. Philly's one game behind them. And Detroit has the bye right now, and that means that Philly is the two seed, If the Commanders make the playoffs, which I think is, you know, a very reasonable possibility, they would almost certainly be the 7 seed, which means they would play the 2 seed. So right now they would go to Philly and play the Eagles. If Detroit falls out of that top spot, Philly claims the bye, and Philly's playing well right now, they would go to Detroit. Now, I tend to think this is 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other from the Commanders' perspective, which is to say, I don't know that the Commanders necessarily want Philly or want Detroit. They're very, very heavy underdogs against either. It's probably a question of who's healthy, who's got momentum, that kind of thing as you get closer. But there are implications there downwind. For Green Bay, they are 3rd in the NFC North with a 9-3 record, which is absolutely insane to me because Minnesota's playing good football as well. Green Bay's also got a tough schedule coming in. They've got Detroit tonight. They go to Seattle, which is not going to be easy on the other side of this game. They got Minnesota before they close against the Bears. They've also got the Saints in there. So there's 2 losable games in there. So they could theoretically, get to 5-6 losses. That's where the Commanders are. The Commanders are at 5 losses. So now you're talking about, this is a best case scenario. I know AWOD's doing some nightmare dreaming on his show this week. Oh, what if they get to 10 and don't make the playoffs? Yeah, you could draw it up that way for sure. Let's do some other side planning though. If the Packers lose tonight, go to 9-4, the Commanders would are just 1 game back of them for the 6th seed. And they're running and they're chasing. Now, is it likely? No, it's not likely. But hey, yeah, it's our show. We're dreaming up scenarios here. If Washington can slide into the 6th seed, now you're not playing Detroit or Philly anymore. Now you're playing Atlanta or Arizona potentially. If Arizona can overtake Seattle, now you're talking about a very different game because both of those teams are extremely beatable. Tampa Bay, the Rams, maybe even the Niners are in that mix as well. I'd play any of those teams in the playoffs, and I feel like you could get a win too. Again, long shot here, but if you could get the Commanders up to the 6th seed, things change, and things change very quickly for Washington, which I think is an exciting thing to think about. Will it happen? I don't know. AWOD and I were talking during crosstalk yesterday. I said, what's a percent chance they beat the Saints on the road? And he said 65%. I was going to say 60%. I think that those two numbers are really close to each other, right? We think they'll win. We don't expect them to win. You can't expect them to win a road game in the NFL where everybody comes to play every week. Saints have won 2 of the last 3. They're coming off a recent bye as well. There's a lot of things trending right for the Saints right now. It's not a gimme game by any stretch. But if you win that, now you're having a very different conversation coming into that Falcons game, one that would be a lot of fun. And I think would be an exciting one to have, right? Because now you're not even talking about, like, will 10 make the playoffs? You're talking about, can we catch the Packers for the 6th seed? But first, Packers-Lions tonight should be an enormously fun game. You saw the Packers on Thanksgiving, their role, and you saw the Lions on Thanksgiving. The Bears very graciously gave them the win at the end, which was certainly nice of them. And I expect this one to be, on a week's rest, a really fun one and a hard-fought game. And Detroit's been so fun to watch this year. And how can you not love Dan Campbell and the Applebee's ad and all those things? That dude's rocking it every day. I love Dan Campbell. You should love Dan Campbell as well, coach of the Lions. He's rolling right now. Before we go into a big weekend of football, we'll do our NFL picks tomorrow, of course. Parney Time rejoins us after a 1-week hiatus. Hopefully he didn't cool off. Really good 4 o'clock window this week. You got Seahawks Cardinals, as I mentioned, game with big playoff implications there. NFC West title very much still up for grabs. Rams are in that mix as well. They'll take on the Bills at home in the 425 game. That's a tough task. Josh Allen's got the boys rolling right now. I think he's probably your MVP leader, even though I love Saquon. But the Rams Bills at 425, Seahawks Cardinals at 425, and then your other NFC West team also playing then. The Niners are hosting the Bears. First game post Christian McCaffrey injury. The Bears looking to get some momentum. They're 4-8, been a very disappointing season there for the Bears. But the 49ers with the chance to maybe catch up some ground and catch them. Chargers, Chiefs, your late game. Does the Harbaugh magic trump whatever Andy Reid does to pull out a horseshoe at the end of every single football game? I think that's got the potential to be a fun one as well. Early window, a little underwhelming. We've got some buys this week. We've got some teams sitting out. Browns, Steelers, Jameis Winston taking on the Steelers. Falcons, Vikings, probably as good as it's going to get in that window. Vikings keep rolling. The Falcons, man, if they have another dud. And this is the Kirk Cousins returns to Minnesota game, too. So this is like an extra, like, charged up game. Kirk Cousins, one of two homecomings he'll do this year because he's coming to Washington in a couple weeks. He may not make it to Washington if he struggles in this one. You guys saw the clips. He was really struggling. Kirk Cousins, definitely on the hot seat here. And I didn't realize, because so much of it was he's got to get out of Minnesota because he says they won't commit to him long term. I didn't realize the Falcons can get out of this contract after this year, especially with the rookie deal and Penix sitting there. That's a fascinating subplot, too. The Falcons do not have to take Cousins next year. Now, I think they want to, because that Achilles is a two-year injury a lot of times, especially for an older quarterback. So I think we're judging an injured Kirk Cousins or Kirk Cousins who's not fully back from injury. But at any rate, it's a fascinating situation there in Atlanta because they're antsy. They're ready to win now, and Raheem Morris is ready to win now. And he's got to deliver against a really tough, really stout Vikings defense. No Commanders football this week, so we'll put them on ice for the week. Of course, the Sunday will start with the college football playoff announcement. Then you get the bowls trickling out throughout the day, waiting to see where Virginia Tech will go for their bowl game. Of course, we'll have that for you right here. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM when Virginia Tech gets to the other side of the bowl rainbow. I'd love a Mayo Bowl. A little something, you know, that's in Charlotte. That's a little warmer. That's nice. I'm fully expecting Fenway Bowl, Pinstripe Bowl, somewhere in the cold weather range. Six win teams don't get the benefit of the doubt when it comes time for bowl selection. But we got to roll on. We'll be back.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.